Think about it. Some of you are from my generation, and you remember, or older than us, or whatever. But how many of you do remember the Beverly Hillbillies, even in reruns? All right. Did you ever think about this, Jeb Clampa? He was always the peacemaker, wasn't he? I mean, it seems like there was always conflict around him. There was always something going on, whether it be with Ellie Mae or Jethro or Granny or whoever it was. And old Jeb there, he was always the peacemaker, it seems like, right? But you know what? We are more empowered than he ever was to be a peacemaker. And so let's talk about some of this today as we allow the Lord to help us. Amen? Would you open to your Bibles, in your Bibles, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this has been our text scripture. We haven't referred to it in a while, so I want to read it to you again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, begin with verse 4. Verses 4 and 5 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians reads this way. Paul, by the Spirit of God, he says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so our goal in all of this, and talking about the various aspects of power principles in the Word of God, our goal is to build our faith in the power of God, to build our faith in the power of the blood or the cross, to build our faith in the power of God's word, to build our faith in the power of the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of prayer, and now to build our faith in the power of love. And when we talk about resolving conflicts, which we're going to get into, we need to understand from the onset that you and I are empowered in a supernatural way to resolve a conflict. Unlike those that don't know Christ, we have an advantage, and we need to, as believers, start to really believe that. We need to believe that we are more than just human. Many times you hear people say, "Well, I'm just human," but I submit to you that if you are born of the Spirit of God, you are not just human. You are one who has God's Spirit living on the inside of you. You are empowered by God, and you are enabled by God, by the love of God poured in your heart, to resolve conflicts in a supernatural way. He has called you and made you to be a peacemaker. Amen? Thank you for that overwhelming response or underwhelming response. But you and I are called to be peacemakers. It says, as I mentioned to you, we didn't go there today, but in Matthew 5:9, those that are peacemakers will be called the sons or the children of God. If you're a child of God, part of your calling is to be a peacemaker, and you're empowered by God to be so. Amen? Amen. And so we need to begin to have our faith in the idea that we are empowered to bring peace wherever we go, much like Jesus did. And peace does not necessarily mean that there is, everything is mushy and that sloppy agape kind of thing. That doesn't mean peace. Sometimes Jesus was hard. He was very blunt at times, but he was blunt in order to bring peace. He was blunt in order to bring correction so that there could be things set in order the way they should be, right? All right, let's go to our notes here. We'll not read the introduction this morning, but let's look at Roman numeral number 2, making peace by resolving conflict. Let's go, if you don't mind, to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 is the next place, and then we're going to define some things pertaining to this word conflict. In James chapter 4, it says, beginning with verse 1, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to look at it a little bit later from the Amplified Bible, but in verses 1 and 2 of the book of James. Now remember, James was written primarily to Jewish believers that had been scattered at the time. You know, the early believers were primarily Jewish, weren't they? I mean, many, from Cornelius' household up, more and more Gentiles came to Christ, but many were Jewish believers, and they scattered, including Gentile believers. They scattered because of persecution, whatever, but James was written primarily, first and foremost, to Jewish believers. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" How many of you know some things never change? All right, we see that this was the case in the churches that James was writing to, or the people. It says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." Verse 3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss," or ask with the wrong motives, "that you may spend it on your own pleasures." All right, let's go to our notes and let's begin defining this word conflict for for a moment. Notice letter A, defining conflict. Very simple here. The word conflict means this, first from the American Heritage Dictionary, a prolonged battle, a controversy, disagreement, the opposition of mutually exclusive impulses, desires, or tendencies. In other words, the idea that people have different desires, different tendencies, etc., and therefore there's going to be some disagreement and some opposition amongst ourselves because we all think a little bit differently, don't we? All right, going on with this in number two, another definition from Webster's 1828 dictionary. It reads this way for the word conflict, a striking or dashing against each other as of two moving bodies in opposition, violent collision of substances, a fighting combat as between men and applicable to individuals or to armies as the conflict was long and desperate, contention, strife, and contest. And so I see, and I know that all of you do, have a great idea as to what we mean by this word conflict. And you can see from those definitions that there's a great range of levels of conflict. Anywhere from people getting into a little spat to a war. Isn't that right? I mean, there can be different levels of conflict. And as I said earlier, it is common to the human experience to have conflict. And you know what? God knew that that would be the case. He made us all different. He put us together and said, now you need to get along. Isn't that right? We all think differently, and the fact that we get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and live for God and what have you doesn't change the fact that He made us as individuals, gave us a different, we all have a different background, we all have a different experiences, and because of the background and the experiences that we have, we're going to have a little bit different perspective on certain things, right? But how many of you know that God's Word has a way, as we get our minds renewed, to get us going more and more on the important things, especially, more and more on the right track. More and more, therefore, in agreement, right? There are certain things pertaining to the important things of life that the Bible does address that as we will adhere to and decide that we're going to obey the Word of God, we're going to become more and more united in our thinking because on the important things of life, the Word of God is clear. Amen? And most of the things, I think you'd agree, most of the things people get in spats about or conflict about are things that are minimal compared to what is really important. All right, let's go on with another definition. Number three, a difference. This is from a book called The Peacemaker. A difference in opinion or purpose that frustrates someone's goals or desires. All right, very simple. A simple way of looking at it. It is what? A difference in opinion and purpose that frustrates someone's goals or desires. And so we cause frustration for one another, don't we? When we have different opinions, when we have different goals, and we want our own way, whatever the case may be, we cause at times frustration, especially with those who are closest to us. Most conflict occurs, and probably a certain level of it increases, goes from less to more, depending upon our relationship with a person. And you know as well as I do that the people you're closest to have the ability to frustrate you more than anybody else. Am I right on that or not? The people that you love the most, the people you spend more time with, etc., are the ones that have more opportunity to frustrate you. All right, let's look at some things. Letter B, causes of conflict. Number one, the first thing, very, very evident, very apparent. You're going to all see this without any doubt. But number one, because of misunderstandings resulting from poor communication. Misunderstandings. Everybody say misunderstandings. All right, one cause of conflict are misunderstandings due to poor communication. I gave a reference there. We're not going to take time to go there, but I encourage you to look it up. Joshua 22:10-34. It gives the account of the tribe of Reuben. Now, this is when the children of Israel had left Egypt. They'd gone into the promised land. Now they're beginning to take parts of that land little by little. They're conquering, etc. And we've got the tribe of Judah. We've got part of the tribe of Manasseh. And then we've got the tribe of Gad, if my memory serves me, and they set up an altar in a certain part of the land. And it goes on and it says in that particular passage that then someone made a remark or someone said this, and they began to assume certain things and motives that the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the partial tribe of Manasseh, different motives. They had this idea that because they set up an altar that they were going to worship an idol, they were going to worship false gods of the land of Canaan and bring judgment on all of Israel. Because they had seen from experience that when one, like Achan, had just happened not long prior to this, Achan had committed idolatry and whatever, and God judged a whole slew of people because of Achan's sin, and now they're afraid. They're saying, look at Reuben's tribe, Gad's tribe, and part of Manasseh's have built an altar. They're going to worship idols, and God's going to judge all of us. Let's go get them. And they went to war. They were there. They faced up, and they were about to go to war. But then Reuben and Manasseh and Gad spoke up and said, no, we're not here to worship idols. We're here to worship our living God and to give thanks to him and what have you. What happened in that scenario? What happened was the other tribes assumed that they knew the motives of the others. They assumed what the purpose was in them building the altar at that particular place. They called it treachery. They called it all sorts of things. And yet the reality was they didn't see the whole picture and didn't look and know and understand the heart of those other men and women, those other tribes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so what took place was a misunderstanding. I submit to you that happens to us all the time or often in our lives. We assume certain things. We see an action or something that someone else or someone else does, and all of a sudden we might relate that to something that happened in the past. We may relate that to an Achan or somebody else that worshipped idols, and suddenly we're putting this new thing together with something else that happened that was with wrong motive and whatever, but we haven't gotten all the facts at all, have we? Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you today? Because we connect events that may not even deserve to be connected. And because of the past, we have preconceived ideas, we've got biases, and automatically we see something that might resemble something else that happened, and we think it's the same thing. How many of you know that's not always the case? Everybody say misunderstanding. All right, let's go on with some of this. Number two, causes of conflict. Number two, differences in people's values, goals, priorities, expectations, interests, and opinions. And the references that are given there. Acts 15, one of the greatest times where the church got together, the elders, the bishops, etc. Some of the people got together and they were discussing differences in a way they ought to operate, whether or not the Gentile or non-Jewish believers should be circumcised, or whether they ought to eat blood, etc., or go through the law in certain ways that they had to have. There was much dispute, the Bible says. In other words, there was a whole lot of arguing amongst the apostles and the elders about what kind of rules they ought to lay down for the non-Jewish believers. But the beautiful thing about it was they heard. They listened to the sides. They listened to each other. And when they did, one stood up, James by name, who was the pastor of the church of Jerusalem at that time. And he spoke and he was anointed and he brought out the ideas and then said this, that, and the other thing. Let it be done. And they all agreed and they all went away happy. They resolved the conflict because they listened to one another. They heard what the others had to say and they prayed and sought God. And it said that it seemed good unto us and the Holy Ghost. How many of you know that's essential? Amen? All right. All right. So again, we have here number one, misunderstandings. Number two, differences in people's values, goals. The 1 Corinthians 12 reference has to do with the idea that we're all different members of the body. We all have different giftings. We all have different abilities. And sometimes we try to compare what our gifting is with others and think that they ought to have the same passions we have. How many of you know that doesn't always happen? And those that may be more of an evangelistic flair, they have more of a passion in that way. Now, not to say that we shouldn't all have a passion for evangelism, but some people are more called in that direction than others. How many would agree to that? And so those that are more called to that area of evangelism look on others and try to project their calling onto others and think that they all ought to have a passion like that one who has an evangelism calling on his life, like an evangelist, if you will. And so nobody else measures up and it causes some measure of conflict, right? But we are all members of the body and we all are set in the body as it has pleased him, right? I mean, I know for a fact that there are people probably that just get kind of irritated at me because, you know, I enjoy studying the Bible. I enjoy getting as much out of it as I possibly can. I like to squeeze it and look at it and examine it and everything else. But I understand and recognize the fact that not everyone has that inclination. Amen? And, you know, in one way, that's all right. I mean, you know, not everybody's called to preach. Like, you know, full time. Not everybody's called to teach. If so, then we'd all be standing up here and we'd be speaking to a bunch of chairs. There's different measures, different anointings, different callings. But because sometimes we try to project our gifting on somebody else, it causes conflict with that somebody else. Everybody good? All right, going on with this then. Number three, competition over limited resources such as time and money. That can happen as conflict in a family many times. Limited resources, some of the greatest arguments families can have, husbands and wives in particular, is over money. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I know it's so. Don't try to lie about it. I know it's so. One of the greatest things that causes conflict in marriages is arguments or disagreements pertaining to money. Here we have the example of Lot and Abraham, how their herdsmen were growing and there was only a certain amount of, area for their pasture, for their flocks and his flocks, so they had to separate. The men were, of each of them, Lot and Abraham were starting to get in contention and fighting, whatever, and finally they resolved that conflict, didn't they? Everybody hear what I'm saying? Because of limited resources. Number four, conflict can start from within us. Now, this is from James 4 again. We read it. I read it to you from the New King James. Look up at the big screen. And let's look at it from the Amplified Bible. Notice what it says from the Amplified. This really brings it out. What leads to strife, discord, and feuds? And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight in war you do not have because you do not ask. Now, that goes along and shows us a number of things. The final three things I have here, 4, 5, and 6, conflict can start from within then, can it? We've mentioned that pertaining to peace, that conflict starts on the inside. We have these desires. We have these wants. We have all these things, and conflict within manifests outside many times, right? And then we've got what? We've got the next one, number five. Conflict comes when people want their own way. See, if I hadn't got yours yet, I got it now, didn't I? Amen. All right, and so conflict comes when people want their own way. And number six, conflict comes when people are jealous of someone else. All right, so it could be one, two, or all of these things. But there probably are other things that we could talk about, but these are some of the causes that we can see even in the Bible of conflict amongst people, right? All right, well, we know some of the causes. Let's look at some of the ways to take care of that. Letter C says ways to resolve conflict. Number one, it starts with you. Say it starts with me. All right, and I'm going to have to go through these quickly. And so just take these and run with them as much as you can. But notice now letter A, first of all. Letter A, are you with me? Everybody with me? You're not falling behind, are you? Notice now, it starts with you. Pertaining to conflict, resolving conflict with others, it starts with you. Letter A, know who God says you are. I'll tell you, that is such a powerful principle, but yet many times we don't grasp a hold of that. When you know who God says you are, I'll tell you, it changes everything. It changes everything as far as what people say to you, what people do to you. Your security is not found in what they say or do or anything else. Your security is found in knowing who God says you are. God says you're His son, you're His daughter. God says you're an heir of His and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God says that your citizenship is in heaven. God says that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a treasured people. Amen? God says you've been accepted into the blood, into the beloved, if you will. You've been accepted and not rejected, according to Ephesians chapter 1. God says, and whatever God says is so, and so when you know who you are, that's a major step. In being able to not be affected by conflict. Many conflicts occur between people because of insecurity on one or both of their parts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Insecurity causes much conflict amongst people. Somebody just looks at you the wrong way because of your insecurity. You interpret it the wrong way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or somebody says something and maybe there's an alleged edge to what they say, but because of your insecurity, you interpret what they say differently than the way they meant it. You follow what I'm trying to say to you? Anybody get anything out of this? We're talking about real life, where we really live here. Amen? I mean, you know, people get offended or hurt and maybe cause a bit of conflict because of the fact that someone didn't say hello to you when they walked by you. But the reality of it is they weren't stuck up. The reality of it was that they had their mind on something else, focused on something entirely different. It wasn't that they ignored you or snubbed you. It's they were so caught up with things they didn't even notice you. And that goes back to this idea, we ought to have grace for one another. Because, you know, we are all finite. We are all, fallible individual human beings, aren't we? We've got to have some grace for each other and not expect too much or more than what we should. Let's go on with this. Is everybody doing all right? And so it starts with, you know who God says you are. Letter B, live close to God. Everybody say, live close. I want to show you this. If you'd go to James chapter 4, maybe you're already there. But in James chapter 4, look at some of this in context. Are you doing all right? If we don't finish, we'll pick up next time, God willing. But just look at James chapter 4, and you'll notice the passage that I gave you, the verse I gave you, verse 8, where it talks about, get close, stay close to God. Verse 8 says, draw near to God. I quoted this earlier. And he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, remember now the context of all of this in James chapter 4, at least the immediate context. We don't have time to go into the context of the entire epistle and whatever, but notice the immediate context. Remember verses 1 and 2 where he talks about wars and fightings amongst you, right? And then he deals with some other things about giving grace to the humble, rebuking the proud. How many of you know pride causes a lot of conflict and fightings and wars? Isn't that right? And then he goes on and says in verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Then he comments about drawing nigh to God, he'll draw near to you. Then he goes in verse 9, lament and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Verse 11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren, etc. So it all goes hand in hand, doesn't it? One of the keys to not speaking evil of one another, one of the keys to not having warrings and fightings amongst ourselves is get close to God, stay close to God. People that are close to God don't end up, causing conflict, but they'll get wisdom from God how to help solve conflict, right? Everybody with me? All right, and so stay close to God. If you're going to resolve conflict, first of all, know what God says about you or who God says you are. Letter B, live close to God. Letter C, don't seek the approval of others. Don't seek after the approval of others. How many of you know others will let you down? Now, it's nice to be approving of people and to acknowledge them and to, appreciate people and whatever. But, as us ourselves, we need not be looking for the approval of others. We only need approval from one. And that approval is from Almighty God. Amen. Look at some of the verses up on the screen, if you don't mind. You got those, Lauren? Here we go. Galatians 1:10, Paul speaking, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And so if we're seeking the approval of men or to be approved of men, it could cause us to really set the stage to compromise our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And people will let you down every time. But how many of you know you've been approved of God? Amen? If you're born again, you are approved of God. Doesn't mean he approves of everything you do, but he approves of who you are because of who he made you. That doesn't mean he's going to approve of everything you do, but thank God he accepts you and wants to work in your life. Amen? Amen. Notice the next verse from the NIV as well. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. Now, granted, this talking about Paul and his team and preaching the gospel. Obviously, they weren't trying to please men. They got a lot of persecution for not pleasing men, isn't that right? A lot of beatings and everything else for not pleasing men. But he stood strong, and he said, I'm approved of God. I'm going to look for my approval from God. I'm not going to try to please everybody, because you know what? You'll never please everybody. I can prove it to you right now. All right, you ready? Ready for this? How many of you are warm, too warm in here? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you are cold in here? See what I mean? You can't please everybody. How many of you think it's just right in here? Praise God, majority wins. Amen. All right. But see, again, we can't please everybody, right? We do our best to please God. But when we're trying to please God, those that love God, they're going to be pleased for the most part, aren't they? Right? All right. And so not trying to be proved of men, but approved by God instead. Number two, learn to communicate well. All right, I know I'm running out of time. Let me give these to you quickly. Can I? Letter A, always choose the right time and place. Some of you know that is wisdom from above right there. If you're going to resolve conflict, you've got to choose the right time and the right place, right? All right, right time, right place. That means you got to think things through, plan things through. I'll mention that in a couple of minutes as well. You can't just decide, well, I'm going to resolve conflict right now. How many of you know, first of all, if you're tired, it's a wrong time to resolve conflict. I've said this, but it's been a long time. I'll say it again. One of the most spiritual things you can do in order to help you be controlled, under control, and spiritual, and walking in love, one of the best things you can do is make sure you take a nap. Make sure you get some rest so that you wake up refreshed and you're not so apt to go off and fly off the handle if you're rested. Isn't that right? And so pick the right time, the right place, the right circumstance. There's a wrong time for certain things, all right? And in marriages, you can learn, fellas. You can learn when there's a good time and when there's a bad time, can't you? Think about it. Think it through. Ladies, this applies to you as well. You know, I've told you before, my wife sometimes she wants to resolve something. It's not really conflict, but some matter. I'm about ready to say goodnight. She wants to resolve something then. How many of you know that when I'm ready for bed, I'm ready for bed? And if she wants to take that risk of trying to talk about some problem there, she is taking the risk that I am not going to have her, she's not going to have my full attention, and the chances are I'm going to fall asleep while she's talking and everything else. And so you know what? It's not a good time nor a good place. Especially when I've been in the house for 5 hours, she never said anything until I'm ready to go to bed. That's good preaching right there, brother. All right. Let her be. Learning to communicate well. Let her be. Talking in person is always better than by phone, texting, or emails. I'll tell you what, emails and all of this kind of stuff, that'll mess you up. They will not understand. You have more opportunity for misunderstandings through this social networking thing than any other time. Because they can't hear your inflection of the voice. They can't see your mannerisms. Would you agree with me? We communicate with more than just our words. We communicate with the way our body is. We have body communication, don't we? I mean, there's verbal and there's bodily communication. And so many times with the social network, the communication breaks down. Let her see. Be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. Everybody say quick to listen. And with that, number one, wait patiently while others talk. Look it up on the big screen if you don't mind. Notice, wait patiently while others talk. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. There's a good one for us, right? Look at the next frame, Proverbs 18:13. This one's Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Everybody say, think carefully. See, we don't want to be reactionary because you would agree with me, I'm sure, that when we react in our words, we usually end up putting fuel on the fire, right? All right, and so be quick to listen. Number one is wait patiently while others talk. Number two, discipline yourself to pay attention. It takes discipline, doesn't it? It takes discipline to pay attention sometimes. Number three, ask for clarification when you need it. I'm just giving you some basic, practical things, and then I'm going to close this out today. Is that all right? All right. Are you with me? Everybody good? All right. So ask for clarification when you need it. You can say things like, are you saying, tell me more about, you're trying to get more input from them, aren't you? All right, I'm confused about something, or let me make sure I understand. And that is good, healthy interaction and dialogue, isn't it, right? And then when you're hearing from them in order so that they might help you to understand, don't cut them off, don't shut them down or get upset or anything else, but hear people out. Do you know when you hear and listen to other people, you are what? You are earning your right to be heard. You're earning your right to be heard when you listen to other people. All right? Real quickly, I'm going to give you the blanks and you can read the rest. Ready? Number four, express agreement on points where they're right, even if it means you have to admit you were wrong. Proverbs 15:31, it's up on the screen if you don't mind. Proverbs 15:31 says it this way. It's there, right there. It says, if you listen to constructive criticism, you'll be at home among the wise. It's a good one, isn't it? All right. Proverbs has a lot of good stuff for us. Number five, in all of this, you're seeking to understand before you seek to be understood. See, when we have conflict resolution or an attempt at it, we always want to be understood instead of understand. And if our goal as individuals would be to understand, instead of our goal to be understood, we would get a whole lot further. Wouldn't you agree to that? And how many of you would agree that that's more of the selfless way of going at it instead of the selfish way? Oh, I want to be understood. No, be understanding. How many of you believe that that would be a part of reaping and sowing? If you be understanding, you'll be understood because you'll reap what you've sown. Amen? All right, let's move on real quick. Letter D, speak, but choose your words carefully. We're talking about communication. Speak, but choose your words carefully. Number one, speak with grace. Everybody say grace. Number two, plan your words. Plan your words. If you've got a real confrontational thing, you need to plan your words and maybe even write down some of the things that you might say. ahead of time. Plan your words. Number three, use I statements, not you. You becomes accusatory. Especially if you add words like always or never. You always. How many of you know you're ready for a fight? I mean, that is a fight. Those are fighting words. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So use I statements instead of you statements and avoid nevers and always and such. Number four, ask for feedback. That takes guts. Letter A, I'm not sure I'm explaining myself well. Tell me how you interpret what I'm saying. That's a good thing to say, isn't it? I'm not sure I'm explaining myself. Don't blame them for being stupid. I know you're stupid, and I know you don't understand what I'm saying. That's not the right approach. I know you're dense. You blame yourself for not being able to explain. You say, you know, I'm not sure I'm really articulating myself well. I'm not sure I'm making this clear. I'm just not sure. I'm questioning my ability, not your mentality. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you here now. Hey, ma'am. Some of you husbands, you owe me after this, man. I'm trying to help you. Letter B, another one. What have I said that you agree or disagree with? That takes guts to ask that question. All right, then number three, guard your emotions. Guard your emotions. In fact, before you set a place in time, would you agree with me? You need to make sure your emotions are under control ahead of time. Amen? You need to be sure that if you're angry about a situation, I've had to do this as a pastor. I've had to do this. I've had to make sure that my anger was down when I heard about situations or whatever before I ever tried to confront it, because I knew if I confronted something with anger, it would not go well and would not reap the results that we want to reap. We want to reap the right result. We want to reap the Christ results. Amen? The godly results, right? And so our emotions out of control, or our emotions not under the control of the Holy Spirit, are not going to reap the benefits and the blessings that God would have. Because again, conflict can be good if it's handled right. It can bring about a deepening of relationships more than a separation of relationship if it's handled right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It could cause you to be closer to a person than more distant from them if it's handled right. Because it's kind of like people that are in war together. They've gone through conflict. Man, those people are, they're together, man. They have developed a deep-rooted sense of loyalty. I mean, they work things out even amongst themselves, and not alone, let alone the enemy. All right, so guard your emotions. Let's skip down. You can read things about the definitions of emotions. Letter B, how should we view emotions? Number one, emotions are not evil, but they can be used for evil. Emotions are such a big thing. God gave us emotions. God created us with emotions, but let's make sure that they are under the control of the Holy Spirit. And that's number two under that. We shouldn't want to eliminate our emotions. We want them to be healed and whole and under the control of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And we'll maybe talk about this some more next week, but my time is up. But my main point here today is that conflict doesn't have to be considered a bad thing. Worship team, if you'd come. Conflict can be a good thing. It's an opportunity for us to exercise our calling at being peacemakers. Amen? And when there is confrontation needed, when there is a need to confront, it can be confronted with the grace of God. It can be confronted with words of grace that are, as Paul said, seasoned with salt, right? Salt. In other words, more palatable. There is a way to handle things because really, again, conflict is normal to life. Conflict is a part of the human experience. And so if it is, and God has recreated you and me and put His love in our hearts, then He has empowered us to handle it for His glory to bring about great results. Would you say amen to that? Amen. And so instead of avoiding it like a lot of times we do, instead of postponing it too long like a lot of times we do, let's get God's mind on how to handle any kind of conflict, whatever level it might be at, and let's expect the power of love to show up and defeat that conflict and bring about what God would have us bring about. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me today? Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we give You glory and praise today. And Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You that Your word is full of instruction. Your word is full of insight, Father God, as to handle every area, as to how to handle every area of our lives. Father, I pray that something said today will help a relationship here, whether it's a husband-wife, whether it's a co-worker, whether it's a relative, whoever it might be, Father God, I pray that something said today, something from Your word today, Father God, would just strike a chord and help us all to minister and to bring about reconciliation, to bring about resolving conflicts, whatever the case may be, Father God. You've called us to be peacemakers, Father. Oh, Father, I pray that would just settle down in our hearts, that we see that as a reality, that I am a peacemaker. Father God, we thank You and believe You for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now let's all stay in a reverential